Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. All right, so I'm going to need you to start asking questions, but you can ask who's here and I'll see if I can pick it up.
Okay. All right. So hello to whichever energy that Deanna is connected to today. Can we ask for a name of who is here?
Okay. I heard we are three. Something tells me it's not the Divine Mother though, like I thought. Let me ask. It's Ariel. So I guess the archangels came. I don't know. Maybe they'll have messages for her, but I don't have any other. That's who's here.
So I guess my first question, why have you come?
We've come to help and encourage and enlighten and inspire. Bring hope for many is what I heard.
Okay. I'm going to ask this and it might be kind of rude, but, so why didn't the Divine Feminine connect with Deanna today?
He said, we are all it. We all enjoy the fruits of this energy, of this female light, each and every one of us. We are all a representation of that, regardless of what you call it. It is everywhere, and it is remarkable, is what I heard.
Okay, that well, then that actually... Is... Oh, go ahead.
No, that's all. No, go ahead. Still ask your questions, though.
Okay. I was going to say, well, that's a good segue because then why throughout history have we all, or not we, what humanity worships more of the male, you know, divine energy or the male deity over the feminine?
First, I heard that it's a preference for many here. They resort to this line of thinking that it's a line of thinking that man has created. And they said it's a fictitious one wherein God is made of made in man's image, really. That's interesting, you know, because if you think about it, Aaron, in the Bible, it says we are made in the image of God, but he's saying that that God is being made in our image. Of man.
That totally makes sense. I'm thinking of like, from our perspective, it's like, if we make a robot, you know, every time we, even on TV, the fake ones, they're all made based off of humans, right? So if you're going to make something, why not make it off of something that you're used to, which is yourself? So that totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be our preference down here, or what we hold to be true. And it is a self-made, it is a man-made conception, is what he said. Or they said, sorry. I feel like Gabriel's more prominent.
Isn't Gabriel the one that they've sometimes represented as like a female angel as well?
Both,
right?
Mm-hmm. People encounter in both ways.
Are there other angels that are like that?
He said many.
Okay.
They represent themselves as they prefer. They just represent as is what he said. It doesn't matter really if it is male or female, but many do prefer male, is what he said, a male representation. As to them, it is more accurate.
I'm going to hold off on my side jokes right now. okay. Let me look at the question. Okay, great. So then, is there anything wrong with like, well, I don't want, maybe wrong isn't the correct word, but is there anything like, I'm going to just go with wrong, with focusing more on the masculine, you know, deity to worship or, you know, God source versus the feminine? Or is it something where humanity should kind of learn to focus, or at least focus on both and kind of working in a balance?
It's, let me ask again for clarity. Sorry, I thought I heard something. They're saying that it is wise to think bigger from a different perspective, like altogether, as opposed to like specific duality, because the overarching theme is that God is everywhere and everything, and not limited to our conceptions of feminine or male. It is above that, although it contains it. Therefore, when you seek for knowledge or understanding, he said to be a little bit more curious and don't limit yourself within man-made boundaries or categories. Think bigger. While it is helpful to think in this way, the way that we've created man or divine feminine, divine masculine, because these are specific energies, there is something greater than this. When we conceive of, if you want to use the word God or the all, as it encompasses everything, every energetic makeup, every blueprint, and all divine fulfillment is what I heard. It is the everlasting being.
That's intense.
I know. I really felt it. I felt like he was going to say a lot. I was like, oh, he's preaching up in here.
Yeah, no. So then, and I think you and I just talked. Go ahead.
I will tell you the way he's kind of trying to show me, it's like he has a torch and he's trying to show me, like, think of God, and not in man, not in the way we understand God, but like he's showing me just the sun, you know, how the sun, you know, what everything that the sun does for us. Without sun, we would have no planet, right? Nothing would live here without the sun, without that energy. God is like, kind of like that energy, is like that energy, really. There would be nothing without it. And it, you know, it sustains life. It creates life. It's just so massive that we as humans can't conceive it. We can't conceive of what it truly is.
Yeah,
but totally. We have like this awareness. We know that there is something, but we may only have a minuscule piece of the whole puzzle.
That makes total sense. So then, and I don't know if we talked about this, but I know I've at least, you know, heard other podcasts or things on it. But so then, can he answer, or they answer, if it's true that, you know, once we're, I guess, outside of maybe Earth, that there really isn't anything such as like male and female, that it's more of like an earthly idea, I guess. Like other planets may not necessarily have male and female like we do. Is that true?
It is. There are other forms, if you will, with other features. Although we have a preference when we leave here. He's saying due to familiarity with the physical form, to still express ourselves before reincarnation elsewhere in the ideal human form, if that makes sense. Like when we leave, we still have the ability to express our energy or manifest our energy in a way, is what he's trying to say. And that manifestation is just symbolic, he said, but we kind of gravitate towards a specific form that we like. Mm-hmm. And we can express ourselves that way, even though we know that is not our true identity. It's just a form. But yes, okay. There are other places with other forms. Oh, and he said there are other places also that are parallel. That's interesting. I just heard that.
Well, parallel in which way, that they have male, female? Or similar?
Yes, that are very similar to this.
Are we going to interact with them at any point in time? No.
He's saying that, he's saying, at least unless I'm misunderstanding, when he's saying parallel, like parallel lives that we're already living. Therefore, we still take on the same form in the lives as well.
Like Earth lives or lives on other planets?
Parallel realities that lie on top of Earth. Dimensions above it is what he just said. That we exist in as well. Some of us, at least, where we have other lives, other positions, other experiences that drive us and motivate us. And we take on like similar form.
I'm trying to understand. Like
you're existing in a parallel life right now as well, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. And is it, so if it's on top of Earth, is it like similar? It's like another version of Aaron in a way, like another life, or is it another, like a different I'm a whole different soul, or not soul, but a whole different, you know, person? Or is it like another being altogether?
It is you. It is yourself. Your identity is the same, but the reality is different.
Okay, so it'd be like a parallel. General idea of parallel. Okay. I wasn't sure if there was something else with that. Okay. Well, that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken, and I think maybe you and I had this conversation, but I want to ask him. So, and I'm sure people have the ability to do this, but are we able, and is there a benefit in maybe connecting with that person to maybe enhance our lives here? And vice versa?
He's saying that it wouldn't actually be super helpful because you have different goals and different overarching themes in those lives. You come here with this consciousness to experience the, what is he saying? The goals and the lessons that you intended prior to. Therefore, your consciousness remains here for the most part. There are deviations or slippage, I guess. But it is better to be more aware of the role you are playing now in this reality, as opposed to the neighboring reality, as it doesn't really serve you too much. But he says you are curious.
Because I'm like, what if I need help with like something with work and they've already done that experience on the other side? You know, things like that. Not necessarily life lessons, but little things to help, you know, get ahead. I don't know.
You will learn them here. You will learn them here. That is for you to learn in this consciousness, in this form.
I guess I'm just thinking of the movie. I guess I'm thinking of that movie Everywhere, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's a good one. But okay. That's super cool. So then, since going off of this, is so then we're like, our soul is living multiple lives, right? So like, why, like, is the purpose of us having multiple lives with totally different goals so that we can learn more at once? Because like, or wouldn't it make sense if we're trying to learn one lesson, you know, whether it's being humble, like to have all these different experiences of being humble in various lives, like is that how it works, or is there a totally different goal? Like one is learning to be patient, the other is learning to be humble, another one is learning love, you know?
It is to see a thing from multiple different perspectives. This enhances your own knowledge, your own learning. You could have the exact same experience in multiple realities, yet the outcomes may be different. Your response is different. It is trinomial, is what I heard. Rather than seeing things from two positions, you get to see it from three positions and then four and five. Does that make sense?
So is that like where that concept of like the decision you didn't make in this life kind of split off and you made it and you created like a whole parallel life? Like, for example, if I didn't move up to the Bay Area for college, you know, and in another life, they ended up staying down, you know, at my parents' house.
Like, is that? Yes, that is one way.
So, okay. And then are there others where when we were like, we were born intending to have those parallel lives separate that really didn't interact in that same way? If that's the right way to ask that question.
Ask again.
Okay. So if like, I guess if there's, so like, let's say, you know, here I am, little Aaron's about to be born, but there's various realities already set in place or parallel worlds set in place where those decisions that are going to be made are already going to be totally separate from like me going into 10 years old. And then instead of going, you know, I can go to one school or another, and then my parallel world split there.
Could be.
Does that make sense? Okay.
It could be. It all depends.
Okay. So he said,
that's hilarious. He said, that was uniquely stated.
Because all of a sudden my mind's just like shooting off and firing off these like ideas and concepts. So that's where I'm like, okay, this is cool. You know how I get with the parallel world stuff, although I don't do anything else other than ask my questions. Okay. That's pretty cool. Is this something that I should get into, or would I just, is it just better for me to just stay with my random questions and not proceed? That's more of a personal question.
Do you mean in your life as a personal form of study?
Mm-hmm.
They said maybe it would enhance your learning if you were to take the time out and actually read about it, is what he said.
Ooh, okay, maybe I'll add that to the list of the many. Okay, I think that's one of the first times you've actually said yes, or I've gotten a yes. Usually they're like, no, you can try, but you won't get there. You can do this, but you'll learn that it's not going to work for you. So that's actually kind of promising. I'm going to make a note on that one, because I don't think I've specifically asked that. Okay, perfect. All right, and then so can we go back to like our list of questions that we kind of talked about?
Sure.
Okay, I guess. Actually, I think kind of. So what? I'm going to go back to the male, the masculine, feminine, because I think that was kind of what we wanted to discuss. So going back to like how humanity focused on the male energy, you know, and preference. Was there ever a moment or in time where the world possibly could have shifted to the divine feminine, and why didn't it? If it was.
There were tribes, he's saying, a long time ago that were matriarchal, that were led by women. Women held high positions of power where they led man, if you will, where they made the decisions, is what he said. They made decisions about, this is funny, about the children, child rearing, spirituality, about the stars. That's what he's showing me too. He's pointing up to the stars. They were women-led, group-led. It almost feels like nomadic or tribal. And then there were other pieces of the timeline where there were opportunities for the divine feminine to take a great stronghold or to make a great stronghold. However, there were deviations from this. Deviations from this timeline where man took center stage or took hold of the divine feminine, is what he said, took hold of the divine feminine. And therein lies the root of the matter. I just heard that.
So then does that mean like it had we gone more towards the divine feminine as our main, you know, God source or at least focus, that would this world be a better place? Would there be less hate?
The divine feminine has its place, as all things do. It has its role, which is to teach others the art of help, love, healing, compassion, wisdom, kindness, generosity, all of these things. These are all important to a civilization, to man. What was your other question? I heard that.
Oh, I totally blanked on that. I was just listening. Okay. I think I kind of answered. I think I asked, would we be in a better place now? Which maybe that sounds like a yes.
Oh, let me ask. If we were to move towards this, if we were to move in this direction where the divine feminine were to take center stage, then yes, there would be an opportunity for grace here, is what I heard. An opportunity for a massive awakening of the heart. And that is the role of the divine feminine. It is an awakening of the self. It is a remembrance of our hearts and to lead from there. That is how we heal. That is how we grow. That is how we learn. And that is how we benefit. It has always been that. And it will always be, until man makes a decision to look inward, there will continue to be, I heard negative things. There will continue to be the manifestations of the ego, the manifestation of war, poverty, illness, the things that man creates willingly of its own volition. Until then, our egos will continue to have the power that we've given it. What do you think of that? Is what he asked me.
I think he's asking you, what do you think of that, Aaron?
No, that is funny because as soon as he's saying that, I was like, oh, geez, that's intense. I mean, that's what it is now, right?
Very intense. So I was that's like, how I feel. I mean, like, what do you think of that?
I mean, I think that we do need to be more into the feminine, you know, the divine feminine energy, because it's just like every time you look around, it's somebody's hating on somebody else. You know, and they're judging somebody else, and they're probably claiming, oh, I'm not hating. It's like, yes, you are. I'm trying not to use my words of choice, but you know, yes, you are. Like, it's just anytime you know, you can oppose people and like, you know, I don't agree with that, but you know, hey, do what's good for you. But a lot of times people don't do that. Everyone's gotta judge and, you know, feel like they belong in some sort of judgment group. But anyway, yeah, I think that's great, great advice. So then that actually, I guess,
He says one thing. He said, it is not necessarily an advice. It is the way. It is a way for all of us.
Wrong choice of words, but no, that's not advice, but yeah. So then going on to this healing, right? So how can people work with the divine feminine, or I guess, what do they say? The truth, what is real. How can we work with that from our human perspective to heal ourselves?
He said there is a way for most beings to look inwardly, first and foremost. And I'm just going to say it, as the judge of themselves. I don't know why he said that. I'm asking for confirmation. Oh, to see who they are, to really understand what they came for. What they're here to learn, what they're here to see is what he said, how it is to forgive others, to help others, to be generous, to be helpful, and to find their purpose. All of this comes from a deep dive or a deep self-evaluation. First and foremost, with any kind of healing, one must evaluate the self, know thyself first, to get clear on the matter at hand or the matters at hand. This is specific. This is a specific thing, he said, for each and every one of us to do. It is hard for people to stand still and look inward, to ask themselves where they are in life, what has happened. How did they get here? How to forgive themselves and others? How to be more selfless? He said that loudly. More compassionate. More loving. We must do this first, self-evaluation, to get to the root. And we must learn about ourselves so that we may grow and forgive. That is how you self-heal. It is to self-forgive, to self-love, to love each other forever and always, despite what has happened. That is the miracle of divine love or your divine feminine. It is the miracle of all things. And it is the miracle of truth. That is how we heal each other or heal ourselves. And I heard we must concede to this. That's interesting. We must concede to this fact, as no other can do this for you. You must do this part inwardly, I guess alone, for yourself. This is for you. But do not judge yourself harshly, is what I heard. Most are prone to do this when they look inwardly. They judge themselves harshly. They compare themselves. And therein becomes a problem, comparison, judgment. How is it to heal yourself if you continue to judge by your very own minds, yourselves, your identity, where you have failed, where you have faltered, who you were or used to be, as opposed to seeing the light within you, seeing how far you've come, seeing how you have struggled, and grown and learn and expanded. That is the healing you must give yourself. And that is the generosity of love from God. He's saying that the divine feminine inspires you to do this, to self-heal, to bring truth to yourselves, to see your own inner light, so that once healed, you may go out and help others to see their own light, their own inner power. And that comes from the heart. You are blameless in all things. Do you understand this statement? He's asking you.
Like the whole statement or the last statement?
The last statement.
That's the "we are blameless" part. I think so.
He's saying that we are all here for an experience. We are all here to learn. And yes, there is duality. Oh, we learn on the premise of duality is exactly what he just told me. Therefore, it looks and feels painful and is for some. But we are all teaching each other and we are all here playing a role of light and dark as they intersect upon the world of man is what I heard. And while there appear to be injustices, know that the all is just. And while there continue to be, I'm just going to use the word issues because I can't get the word, casualties, he said, horrors, unspeakable ones at times, the all is just. We play our part, even though sometimes this is, the pain is indescribable to some. We each teach each other. That is why we are here. But in the end, we have all agreed on a conscious or unconscious level that we would help each other grow in a place that was hard to learn. That is why you see, even, hold on, I don't know if I heard that right. Even what feels hard or difficult, even with the most darkest experiences on earth, they're all utilized for the purposes of learning. We're all helping each other equally to expand ourselves. That's what I heard.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
And I almost feel like he was showing me so many things that have occurred across history. So many massive, like even genocides is what he was showing me. That although this is happening here and it's dark and it's horrific and it looks unjust, that in a scheme of things, there is justice. We just may not get to see it all.
So in other words, we all asked for this. We all asked to experience this.
Each and every one of you, he just said. Each and every one, last one of you.
So it's funny because I used to tell my friend when she was having trouble with her kid or he was having trouble, I would say, he asked for this. He asked to come here too. So she brought that up the other day, totally forgot. But that's true. We asked to experience all this, even when we hate it. It was our own fault in a way. But okay, that's super intense. So then, like, if I were to sit down, because you were saying, you know, go inward and stuff like that, is there any ritual I should perform to connect to the divine energy, or do I just need to like sit there and just ask for the energy to connect to me and then, you know, go inward and do whatever it is I need to do to start healing?
Yes, first, he said, sit down, close your mind and tend to the heart. Tend there first, for all of the answers will be there, but self-evaluation is necessary. Ask the questions of which you need answers for first. Always ask. Ask to learn, to get clarification, and to heal the issues that are lingering from many parts of your life. And once you ask, you will be guided to the truth. You will be shown. Nothing is being kept hidden from you, is what he said. No one but yourself. We think that, okay, there's no purpose here, is what he said. We think that, not just you, but some people think that There is no method to the madness, as Deanna calls it, he said, but there is. In each and every last one of us, there is a light inside that carries the truth of every situation, even of every unspeakable act, he says. So get to the root and ask yourself why it is, why this, why that. And then listen, open yourself to listen, he said. Open to hear it and judge not yourself, but allow it to speak. And judge not the voice within you either. Allow it to heal you. It will heal you with words. It will heal you with thoughts. It will heal you with its own truth. Do this first. Clean out your heart. Clean out everything that has been troubling you from the past. Things that have happened, things that have caused you pain, things that have been harmful. Allow the energy of light, he said, to lead you. Let it heal you. But first, you must release all the things you've kept inside for years, because it weighs you down. It weighs your heart down.
Generally speaking, right? He's not directing that towards me.
To everyone.
Everyone.
To everyone.
I was like,
he said to, he said to all the light bearers of the world, yourself included, he said.
No, that's funny. Okay, that's pretty deep. I don't know, but like, I'm totally blanking on more questions now. I think we've got most of them.
He said, he kind of said that many people falter here because they are afraid to look inside. They are ashamed of what has happened to them. They are ashamed of their past, of decisions that they have made. And therefore, they grieve inwardly, and the heart carries the load until it can carry no longer. And then they perish. That is why it is a fruitful thing to look inside, because our bodies carry the weight of past injuries, past pains, past slights, and situations that have hurt us. We must free ourselves by freeing our own hearts.
Yeah, makes sense. That's a lot to think about.
It really is. It really, really is.
It makes sense from some of the things that I just did this past weekend. Okay. Is there any other questions that you have?
I know. I'm trying to think of
anything to ask.
Trying to think of something here. I guess ask them if there's anything they want to say. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even start with that. That was usually what I was going to do, but then I got sidetracked because of, you know, me being me. But okay, so is there a general message outside of everything that we just talked about, or part of it, if you want, that you have for anybody listening?
I heard yes. He just said again, love. Love is all there is. Love is what inspires each other. Love is what lifts the loads. Love is what helps each other. With love, there are no limits. And he, you know, it's funny because I want to make sure I heard this correctly. Can you repeat? Oh, yeah. Hello. He said, love heals. Hello. Yes.
Of course you didn't hear that one. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? Love is healing, he said. So make time for love.
And this is like not necessarily romantic love, just like love on the larger spectrum, correct?
He said, remember, we are all just beings of love. We all carry this. That we put titles on love.
Mm-hmm.
We categorize it, but really it is at the heart of everything we do. And it is how we were created, through a burst of love. All right. Do you have any other questions?
No, I think that's all.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode or this week's channeling session. You're getting pretty much a glimpse of some of my private practice channeling sessions, tuning into various different types of spirits, from the archangels to deities and other spirits. So I really hope that the information presented here is helpful for you, or at least there have been some takeaways, and there will be several more to come for the remainder of the year. All right, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.